Stocks closed sharply lower on Wall Street today, the first day back in business after the U.S. tariffs on certain Chinese goods took effect. China has responded with retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods. It's an uneasy time. China's industrial strategy is outlined in a plan called Made in China 2025, and the Trump administration says it includes features like intellectual property theft, forced technology transfers, and cyber espionage. Boy Lucha is an industrial sociologist at Sun Yat-sen University in Guangzhou and a visiting scholar at the East-West Center here in Honolulu. His research focuses on China's industrial economy, and he recently spoke about the Made in China 2025 plan with HPR's Ryan Finnerty as part of an ongoing series exploring the U.S.-China trade war.
Made in China 2025 is the major plan for industrial modernization that China has launched in 2015. And it's a comprehensive plan to develop technology and manufacturing expertise in 10 major emerging industries in which China hopes to acquire the role of a world market leader. This includes robotics and industrial automation, advanced information technologies, chip making, new energy systems and vehicles in particular, ocean technology, and a few more related fields. And this is the blueprint for the digitalized or digital factory of the future, which is completely based on the internet and on interconnection of all the major points of production and the supply chains. It's also known as the Internet of Things.
And so how does the plan, the 2025 plan, play into the trade war, the ongoing trade tensions between the United States and China?
Well, when the Chinese government set up this plan about 5 years ago, nobody was talking about trade wars. And it pretty much became the object of the trade war through the American government, because the American government started to target it or to create it as a target in the trade war, culminating in the demand that China should withdraw the whole program. The Trump administration has been using it massively as a bargaining chip, and to a certain extent it has been successful, because the Chinese government has scaled down the rhetoric and the public emphasis on this program. Many internal government documents now in China no longer talk about Made in China 2025. Of course, they are still going on, but rhetorically, the Chinese government withdrew from this partially.
What was it about the plan? What aspects of it attracted negative attention from the American side?
Well, that's mainly about subsidies and about state-owned enterprise and the so-called national champions. So the suspicion was that China would create national champions in key industries that would take industrial property from all over the world and from the United States, and that would be subsidized through the government. When you look at the real structure of the Made in China 2025 program and how the process develops, most of this is unsubstantiated, because number one, the program, the Made in China program, does not support or aim at supporting specific companies or picking companies as becoming the national champion. This is like Korea, South Korea did it in 1980s, or also Japan did it in the 70s and 80s. It's very different in nature. Made in China 2025 clearly has a perspective on industrial chains and production networks, and to develop production infrastructures for the specific sectors on a sectoral base. Yeah? And the second thing is, the program is not focused on state-owned enterprises. This is the usual perception of the Western media and transported through all the trade war rhetoric. If you look at most of these industries under Made in China 2025, the major players, the champions, so to speak, are private or semi-private companies, like typically Huawei in telecommunications, or like Midea, or like Haier in household appliances, or in the car industry. It's no longer the state-owned enterprises, the Chinese state-owned car makers who are in joint ventures with the major Western manufacturers like Volkswagen or General Motors. But it's the new players, the Chinese independent car makers or privately owned producers of batteries or electric vehicles like BYD. And so you can say in most of these sectors, the Chinese government has to rely on private companies as the lead companies. And of course, whether they can play the role as a national champion or not will also be decided by international competition and the market and their ability to establish technological and brand name leadership in the markets. But this is very different from the traditional pick winners and pick industrial champions from the winners.
So it sounds like the plan is moving away from that state-dominated capitalism model that we had seen in China and towards something closer to a free market.
The plan itself, in my eyes, is already a departure from the classical state capitalist industrial policies of the 1990s and the early 2000s. It's the first time that China's new multinational enterprises like Huawei, that they play a key role. Also the big data platform providers, Alibaba, Tencent, Baidu, they are involved in many, many ways in this program, and they are the essential drivers of many of the program and the owners of the key technologies. And that's why Made in China in itself, in my eyes, already has been a major departure or major difference to the traditional programs of industrial policy in China.
You mentioned during your presentation that one area where the plan is kind of lacking is on the human side and the development of human capital. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, I think this is the key deficit. The plan itself, Made in China 2025, and its many, many sub-plans and also its local implementation plans, they do mention human resource development as important for industrial competitiveness, industrial upgrading of China, but there are no specific strategies on these topics whatsoever under the Made in China 2025 program. This whole thing is unaddressed, and there's a very technocratic vision, of course, of industrial modernization.
So how do you think this conflict, this trade war, plays out? Is it going to just be a blip in history, or are we seeing the beginning of a permanent split economically between the United States and China?
Certainly, this is not a blip in history, and it's very clear. The Trump administration has expressed this again and again. It's about a comprehensive geostrategic confrontation between China and the U.S., and it's about containing China's role as an emerging world power. That's the thing. So it's about politics. Yeah? It took a long time for the Chinese leadership to realize this. It was only in 2017-18 when the Trump administration started to cut off the Chinese telecommunications company ZTE from US-designed or US-made or Taiwan-made, US-Taiwan-made chips. And the Chinese leadership, in my eyes, really tried to rely on its very good relationships with core groups of American business, talking the Boeings and the Apples and the Microsofts and the Starbucks. But obviously, these companies are no longer the relevant players in shaping this administration's trade policy. This is something the Chinese leadership was very slow to understand.
So in your assessment, can this strategy work, or will it only serve to make China more dominant, more powerful in the long run?
It will certainly drive some changes in China. The one thing is we have to say first, the global technology chains and the global production chains and the global innovation systems, they cannot really be decoupled. This is just impossible, especially in industries like IT, where the chips are designed by US companies like Qualcomm or Intel, and they are made by big chip contract manufacturers in Taiwan, and they are sold and used in China by companies like Huawei. And there's so many examples for this. Any smartphone, let's say an Apple smartphone, it's a global product in this sense. We cannot turn the clock back on this. But of course, this whole trade war is not about economic rationality. It's about politics. Yeah. So this is more like a political topic. And when you raise the stakes for trade and intellectual property and all these things, it's easier to keep it cooking. And I think this is the main function of the whole trade war as we see it today.
All right. Well, Professor Lutsu, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Boy Lutsu is an industrial sociologist at Sun Yat-sen University in Guangzhou, China, and a former visiting scholar at the East-West Center in Honolulu. We'll have a link to his research on Chinese industrial policy at hawaiipublicradio.org.